All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Real blessing to be here with you all. Again, blessed by the songs we sang and the thoughts that were shared. Really appreciate those things. It's always a blessing just to hear how God is working in even the little ones' lives just by sharing these things and what they're thinking about. It's just a real blessing to see that and hear that. It's encouraging. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, Father. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us in the baptism, Father, that you'd give your Spirit, Father, to Carlos. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon him, his family. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would again give us wisdom, the words to speak, fill us with your Spirit, and help us be faithful to you, to apply the words, Lord, to walk in the light, Father. And Lord, again, we just thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I really appreciate the thought that the song was saying, if we had no Bible, Brother Kevin wrote that, and just we've talked about it a lot, just things like that. But, you know, we live in a world that has a Bible. Everybody has a Bible, or everybody knows about it. You know, doesn't matter what, even stuff on TV or whatever you'd see, they'll quote Bible verses just out of the blue, you know. There's a lot of people know it. And I think the reason it's mocked and scoffed at a lot of times is because a lot of people know it. But the reality is are we what the Bible is telling us to be? That's where the difference is. Just having dry words or dead words. I mean, the Jewish people had that. The religious people in religion have had the Bible. They can follow rules. They can follow church dogmas. They can do all that. But are we reflecting? Are we living? Are we the light that the Bible is trying to share? You know, this book, I've said it before, it's not because it's all written out just so or it's put in place. This book is trying to show us who God is. And if you make it a law book, it'll fail. You know, if you just disregard it completely, it'll fail. But in its pages are life. And it's nothing you can put in a formula. And that really bothers people sometimes because we love formulas. We love to fit in a nice, safe place. But God's not looking for us to be in a nice, safe place. He's called us out into the world to be the light that he is, to reflect that light. You know, we've often said that, you know, I think the reason we can forgive, the reason we can love, the reason we can have mercy is because we've tasted it ourselves. So many times in religion, you know, you find leaders that are just cruel. They want to just hold everybody to the line. And I've said it before, you know, that we've been in churches where, you know, you might do something and 7 years later whenever things get serious, they'll pull their little book out and tell you what you said 7 years ago. You know, There's no mercy in that. There's no forgiveness in that. And there's no life in that. There's no light in that. Those things are just dead religion. No matter how outward it looks, holy, godly, the world knows the difference. They just see another dry religion. Talking to young Carlos this morning, he asked, one of the questions he asked was, you know, how do I know in making decisions, and how do I know, you know, whenever there's a situation, that which way to go or what to do or where I need to spend my time? And, you know, and that's a lot of us think, you know, what is God's will for my life? You know, a lot of times when we think of that, we think of, well, does he want me to get married? Does he want me to work here? Does he want me to do this or that? And the reality is he just wants you. And he wants you to be able to trust him with all those things. You know, I've said before, maybe just real recently, that, you know, I've had plans and I've had dreams and I've had ambitions, and I've watched them all turn to ashes right in front of my face and just have nothing. You know, and that's as sad and as hard as some of those things go through, those were the best times of my life, because I knew one thing, that there's a God in heaven, and all I want to do is serve him no matter what. And sometimes he has to remind us of those things, that thy will be done. You know, and that's another thing that kind of grates against religion, the box, is you having a will of your own. You know, there's nothing that scares people more in establishment, and it doesn't matter whether it's in government, it doesn't matter whether it's in church, it doesn't matter if it's in, there's nothing that's more frightening to people than a man that's free and just with his will applied to doing God's will. I think that's Romans. We'll start here. We're going to read a few verses, and then we'll probably go right on, or maybe just one verse. Verse 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. This goes right along with what we've been talking about. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. You know, whenever Jesus came with his message, preaching his message, he said, I'm not bringing you anything new. It sounded new to everyone that was listening, but he was bringing a message that was from the very beginning. And that message was something that is instilled in each and every one of us. And that's what made it real. You know, we can build a human box or with religious words, but what makes it real is whenever you get in line with what's in your heart. That stream, that message that God instilled in each and every one of us. And when he comes along and God speaks, that instrument in our heart, if you want to call it, or that, it just, he touches something that goes right to the very heart and the very soul of who we are. And he tries to show us a different way or something a way to do something different. But he came and he spoke, and the words that he spoke were not like others were speaking, because they went right into the heart of the people. And it wasn't just saying, do this, do that, don't do this. He was speaking to life itself in our heart to bring us in connection with him. Scares us to death sometimes whenever we get that close. But being a Christian is not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the people who are going to be afraid. It's for people who are willing to have the courage to be different. Have the courage to walk with God. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. You know how many times we hear people say something and it's just right. They're saying just exactly what they ought to be doing. People know it. It's in our mouths the way we ought to be. You know, that's the world knows what a Christian ought to look like. It's in their mouth. Because it's in your heart. The problem is lining those two things together with us, with me. Just being, you know, we've talked about it before. God is the great I am, and he calls us to be. Just to be what he wants us to be. Okay. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. See, that's where faith comes in. You know, we've described faith before. Faith is not just some thing you believe in. You can have faith. Well, there's people that have faith in idols. There's have faith in their church. They have faith in all kinds of things. That's not the faith that the Bible's talking about. And we can't just direct that faith from those things to Jesus. Because that's just a faith. But the faith that the Bible talks about is when God puts his finger on your heart and shows you what he wants from you. Faith is your response to his claim on your life. And sometimes it's some little thing, and sometimes it may be a big thing. But it's still the thing that's separating you from God. Faith is your response to God's claim on your life, and that's all. And when you respond to that by faith, that's the faith he's talking about. The word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, any church that you go to that's kind of fundamental, kind of Baptist, will say, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. But to confess that Jesus is Lord is to actually respond by faith and allow him to be Lord. Confession is agreeing with what he's asking of us. It's not just saying something in our mouth. Jesus is Lord. It's in our mouth. But is Jesus Lord? Because we've surrendered to him. You know, whenever he is Lord, you know, we might have a few ideas that we would like, directions we would like to go in the future. But when he's Lord, none of that really matters. The goal is to be what he wants us to be. And that's not just between you and him, me and him. Not between you and him. It's more. It's deeper than that. Because being that, what he wants us to be, we become the light that's in the world. And so we have to learn how to relate to other people Appreciated the thought Cale brought out, you know, about how we might just meet someone one time and we can leave an impression on that person. You know, I remember one time I was in an airport and there was delays. And our tendency is to, and I'm capable of it, of getting discouraged. But this time, I don't know what, there was a delay, and it was just praise the Lord. We're going to wait a while. You know, it goes back to that attitude. We can have a good attitude all the time, and it doesn't matter what. But there was a delay, and we was getting ready to get on the plane, and there was another delay. And waited that out, and then pretty soon they postponed it a little longer. And there was another delay. And I don't know what. I didn't notice I was doing anything different, but there was a man came up, and he said, "You make me so mad that you're not getting all upset about this. It just bothers me, bothers him that, you know, everybody ought to be mad about this. They're doing us wrong." And he said, you just aggravate me because you just act like it doesn't even matter. We have an effect on people. You know, if we just go along with the crowd and everybody's all upset and you just get on the bandwagon, let's have a riot here. They owe us money. They owe us this. And we just all jump in together. You're not going to make an effect on anybody because you're just going along with the world. But if you can have a little sunlight in your life, that's going to stick with somebody. Don't know how many times people have just, you know, they just, I've been times that I've been going through the hardest thing in the world, just some really difficult times, and go into a store somewhere or go in and just out of the blue, someone just looks at you and says, "God bless you." I mean, it's just some little something. And people that wouldn't normally say it, but they know to say it to you. And it's just a blessing. And how many times we can be a blessing to other people. But we're so caught up most of the time in our own little problems and all the dark cloud that's following me around because something bad's happened or somebody owes me money or somebody, and they're just we can just roll on that and just let it grow. Or we can turn that thing around and say, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." And give Him the glory and be the light. We started a while ago, you know, we talked about the being able to forgive because we've tasted forgiveness. You know, Jesus told the parable of the man that was forgiven, and he went right out and found somebody that owed him and wouldn't forgive him. You know, and there's a lot of people that have that kind of forgiveness, but it's that kind that never really gets into the heart. It's just kind of superficial. You know, we want forgiven. Oh boy, I'm glad I'm forgiven, and we can be thankful we're forgiven and just be happy. But then somebody does something to me, that goes out the window, and now it's time to get the debit book out to see what they owe me. You see, whenever we've truly tasted forgiveness, whenever we know forgiveness, it is no problem giving it to anybody else. And people don't understand that. Whenever we know mercy, when we've actually tasted mercy, people can do us wrong time and time and time and time and time again, and we're ready to take them in and give them another shot. Why? Because we're dumb? Because we're not very bright and don't know any better? No, because we've seen ourselves in that same place. Because we've tasted mercy. We know what it's like to be absolutely in a place where we don't deserve a thing. See, a lot of this is our attitude. Most of us think we think pretty high of ourselves. We think we deserve everything. We deserve to be forgiven. We deserve a special place. But whenever we know we don't, because we've seen who we really are, and we've reached out to the Lord and tasted His mercy. The real evidence of that is being able to give that mercy to other people that don't deserve it, just like we. Love. You know, people talk about love, probably one of the most preached about things in the whole world. But to know the love of God is to actually have tasted His love. And when we taste that love, we can reflect that to other people. That's what a Christian is. It's simply a reflection of the light that God is trying to speak into the world. You know, I believe there's people all over the world that maybe even never heard a Bible, had a Bible, that they can get a hold of this. They can actually, because they're honest with themselves. They see themselves as they are, and they know that there's a good God out there. The world tries to make Him out as a bad, mean God that killed His own Son. And I think that's one of the flaws with the modern gospel. Satan killed His Son. God offered Him to this world knowing that He would be, but He didn't have to punish Him before He could forgive us. This world crucified Christ. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John, some of the verses the boys read. This is the message we have heard from Him. 1 John, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. God is light. There's not a dark side to God. We can relate to dark sides because we know them. But God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And we do not practice the truth. If we say that we know Him and yet walk in darkness. You know, this light and darkness is one of the most dangerous things in the world. Because it's one of the most precious things in the world. And when God gives you light, that may be the only time He ever offers it. He gives us light, and we go to reasoning in our own minds that, well, God is good. He doesn't expect me to be in line with him. He doesn't expect me to walk in the light, but he does. And you know, that's the thing about it. After we deceive ourselves and we decide we're going to walk on without, you know, we don't have to follow this light. We don't have to yield ourselves to God. We'll just be religious our own way. He'll let us. The world is full of religious people that are not walking in light. God is light, and in him there's no... If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You know, there's just something about fellowshipping with somebody that walks in the light. Jesus reflected that as well as anybody. There were people that loved him and there were people that hated him. We walk in the light, a lot of organized things are going to not like you. But there's a few simple people that will love you because you're walking in that light. You know, the prayer is that, you know, in worldly churches that you ask for the blood to cleanse you and then you start walking in the light. But that's exactly opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Then it says the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. You know, we respond by faith to that light that he sheds upon our hearts and speaks into our hearts. We respond to that. And the blood cleanses us from our sin. That's born again. That's set free. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this confessing, again, confessing is not just, you know, the devils could say that Jesus is Lord. People can say that Jesus is Lord. Just confessing it doesn't mean a thing. Confessing means to line up our hearts that you're right and I'm wrong. So when we confess our sins, it doesn't mean, okay, I messed up, I got to stand up in church again and say I did wrong. You confess it whenever everybody knows you've changed. You don't even have to tell everybody about it. It's completely evidence. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. This verse, go on and read verse chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's, for he himself is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to him, to know him, if we keep his commandments. And I'm not talking about the rule book. If we're walking in this light, being who he wants us to be, we're walking in his commandments. If you love the way he wants us to love, if we're able to reflect what he wants us to be, if he is the God of our life, it doesn't mean you can just flaunt his commandments and don't have to do every little thing. The problem is We want to please Him. And part of that is living in a way, even if it's different than the rest of the world. Not because we're told to, but because, hey, this is an area I'm not quite lining up with God. And so I want to get lined up with Him. I really appreciate this chapter, verse 1, chapter 2. It says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. You know, there's some of the traditional, old traditional churches, they say that they pray to Jesus so that He will have that God will have mercy on us. That makes God a tyrant that needs to constantly be challenged about whether He will forgive us or not. It casts a whole wrong impression about who God is. But if you read it like, we have an advocate that's with the Father, and the devil is the one that accuses the brethren, that accuses our consciences, that accuses us of all of these things. But God and Jesus are united as one. We have an advocate that's with the Father with us. And putting down all those things that are being accused against us. Our consciences. You know, that's part of what God gave us. But they can be so messed up sometimes. And our consciences just constantly condemn us. Because we're trying to make it a little more difficult than it really is. Walk in the light that's in front of you. Walk in what God wants you to do. You be what He wants you to be. Those thoughts that come that constantly condemn us or make us, they're just like our attitude. We can chase after those thoughts, or we can chase after what is good and right. And you know, I mean, if we're doing something wrong or we need to change. But if you're just feeling guilty or feeling bad or feeling, you know, yesterday it was rainy and some friends were at a funeral. Another friend of mine or another family member passed away up and couldn't get there to Illinois. But it was just a gloomy day. And for a little while, I just thought, oh, you know, how easy it would be just to be gloomy today. And how comfortable it would be just to be gloomy. And it just fit with everything going on. But I just decided, I'm not going to be gloomy. I can still choose, even though there's things going wrong, and I could just dwell on those things. Or I can dwell on that which is good. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplications, give those things to the Lord and leave them there. You know, so often we'll pray, we'll say, Lord, here's my problem. And then As soon as we say amen, we say, let me have that problem back. I'm not through chewing on that. We haven't left it with the Lord. We're not trusting in the Lord. We're still trying to hash it out in our little pea brain. Giving your prayer and supplications to the Lord means, Lord, this is your problem now. And all I have to do is go through whatever you decide. Be anxious for nothing. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is what I'm talking about. You know, the world can see someone that has the peace of God resting on them. They just can see it. Some of them hate it, and some of them are just strangely drawn to it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. See how, you know, if we just listen to this and we let this change us, we're all tempted to be negative. We're all tempted to think gloom. We're all tempted to be dark. But God's given us a choice. You know, I've said it before, almost every week it seems like, the only thing in this world that you have control over is your attitude. You can either dwell on all of the bad, or you can give it to God and rest in peace while you live. You see, because, you know, that while that's on most graves, a lot of graves, is rest in peace, R.I.P., rest in peace. We are what we're going to be in eternity. And if we can't rest in peace while we're living, we will not rest in peace when we're dead. We need to get a hold of that. Our whole lives are either in God's will or they're not. And if they're not, the Bible says, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. Let the righteous be righteous, and let the unrighteous be unrighteous. There's a day all this will be sealed, for good or bad. We either match up with God's Spirit while we're here and reflect who He is while we're here, or we're reflecting something else. The other is not worth reflecting. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Baptism. Brother Carlos from Barranquilla, Colombia. I've known him since he was just a wee little fella.
going down there, and his dad always was faithful to bring him to the meetings and stuff whenever we were there, and just sure he covets your prayers as well as all of the brethren in Columbia and sisters there. It's a struggle. But, I guess we'll go ahead and have a baptism. So, come on up. Well, we'll have the baptism, and then we'll have communion. Then I think there's food prepared for lunch, so then we'll have a meal and just have some fellowship. All right. Well, maybe we'll have a song.
Are there two Spanish songs in here? What's the other one? We sang it Sunday night. Lord, you light the stars. What's the other one? Is that in here?
Page 113, you got it on.
Page 103. Yes, that's a good one.
Okay, not for la mañana. It's okay.
Let's sing for la mañana, verse of that. Someone do you know that?
Yeah.
Por la mañana yo dirijo mi alabanza a Dios que ha sido es mi única esperanza. Por la mañana yo le invoco con el alma y le suplico que me dé su dulce calma. Él nos escucha pues nos ama tanto y nos alivia de cualquier quebranto. Nos da su manto de rosa y fuerte.
Shared with Carlos earlier, about the decision that it changes our life, that we're deciding, choosing that we're going to be a reflection of God in this world. Look at this time, you know, we can reflect back of our own lives, and we forget these things sometimes. So, take this as an opportunity to remember the earlier things, or the things that were spoken, the things that where you were at, and just take the opportunity to choose again to refresh those thoughts and dedicate yourself anew to the Lord.
This?
God, meal. Carlos, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the Father, and the Son, we baptize you in Jesus' name.
the older people come on up and have a prayer.
The brethren, men, lay hands on you. Father, we come before you today, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for Carlos. Lord, let his family be with his father, his mother, brother, and his uncles, aunt, and cousins, father, and brethren there, and grandma, and his cousins there, and the brethren there in Columbia, Father. Just ask that you'd be with them, Father. We pray, Lord, for Carlos, that you would fill him with your spirit. God, that you'd help him walk in the light that you shed brought in every man's heart. Yeah. Lord, that you'd give him the power, Father, to be what you want him to be. Lord, the courage, Father, to be faithful to you, Lord. The strength, Father, to put to death the old man, Father, that rises up, Lord, the rebellion and the things, Father, that we all have, Father, that you'd make him a kind, godly example of Christ, Father, there in Columbia. Lord, again, fill him with your spirit, give him wisdom, Father, and Lord, help him to be faithful to you. Lord, again, we just thank you for all these precious gifts you've given. Lord, help him to be, Father, whatever you have for his life, Father. Lord, that you'd help him to be the man that you want him to be there. Again, we thank you for all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Reading.
All right, maybe we'll sing another song while he kind of prepares, and then we'll commune together.
You can sing that 103 if you're there. love that in the chorus, my spring and my spring. It's my spring of the years and my spring out of water. You are always my friend, refuge, and heavenly Father.
Well, let's stand those communion. Glad to welcome Brother Nathan and his family from Cuba, Missouri. There's a small fellowship. Maybe you can tell a little about it.
Well, I don't have much to say, but we're just a small little group, three families. We're, I'd say, a little bit similar to you guys. We're trying to follow the Bible and trying to find our way. So it's good to be here. It's been an encouragement. And wish you the Lord's blessing.
And praise the Lord. Thank you. Yeah, I told him we understood being a small group. We started the entire shop 22 years ago.
Okay,
23. Anyway, so it's been a blessing. Blessing from there. Just make sure you visit. It's a blessing just to have reach out. We reached all over the place looking for fellowship, and there just hasn't been very much out there. Just people that would just let us be what we need to be. And so it's a real blessing when you find others that are just trying to follow the Lord. So keep them in your prayers. All right, let's commune together. Remember Connie, she's not feeling well. And just ask for your prayers. So.
Stanley, pray for his daughter, he's having surgery.
Okay, Brother Stanley. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the body of our Lord that was given to this world, crucified, Lord, that died and rose again, Father. We thank you. We thank you for the blood that was shed to cleanse us from our sin. We just thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do for us. Lord, as we partake of your body and the blood, help us reflect, Lord, the spirit of who you are in this world. Again, we just thank you, Father. We pray for the peace and grace, Father, that comes with those things, Lord, that we might be a glorious light in this world. Again, we just thank you for all these things. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. That's right.
Take heed, the body of our Lord. And the blood that was shed to wash away our sin.
Break thou the bread of life, 3:35.
Thank you.
52 verse of it.
All right. God bless y'all.